Hello.
Hello and welcome to Great Dads Radio. I'm your host, Rob, and today we are joined by our special guest, Jason McCarver, founder of Autism Hood. We'll be talking about the effects of the pandemic and on young children with autism and adjusting to all the new changes to their structure. Our main topic will be on what it is like parenting a child with autism. Jason, thank you for coming on and welcome to the show. I'm a big fan of yours, and it's always been great to hear somebody speak as raw as you do about parenting a child with autism. Thanks a lot for coming on the show. Welcome.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me, man.
It's great to finally talk to you here. First, why don't you tell us a little bit about your family life and how you started Autism Hood?
Okay. Basically, it's just me and my son. My son is 11. He'll be 12 in February. And it's just me and him. I'm a single parent. I got custody of my son when he was 18 months old. He was just having a real bad home life with his mother. You know, she was on drugs, that type of thing. You know, lots of neglect, that kind of thing. So did the whole thing, man. Went to custody court for like a year, back and forth for a whole year. You know, I had to do the parenting classes, all types of shit, anger management classes, like all kinds of shit, man. Then finally got custody of him. He was getting ready to turn two. Right before his second birthday is when I got custody of him. So, and it's just been me and him ever since. And as far as the Autism Hood, that really just happened by mistake. I started it in 2017, and it was just really because, well, let me back up. First of all, I was on Facebook before I even started the Autism Hood. I was on Facebook, and Facebook is bullshit, basically. It was just all the same thing, man, as far as autism. Just it was all the same thing, like chicken nuggets and Flappy Happy and all that type shit, you know. And to me, none of that made sense because I was like, well, why is everybody talking about fucking chicken nuggets and Flappy Happy and all this type shit? Because I didn't know anything about it, you know. So I decided, well, I'm going to just take this shit to Twitter, and I'm just going to tweet about my day and what my son does. And it just took off from there, and it's been Autism Hood ever since.
I'm telling you, you've built a great community of people on Twitter, and it's amazing how, you know, everybody shares their stories and kind of relates and kind of keeps each other going. You know, I'm just really impressed with how rawly you speak with everything that you're going through. You know, I can't imagine what it's like. Yeah, for those of you who don't know, my son is also on the spectrum. He also has an intellectual disability, so I relate with Jason a lot and the struggles that our kids go through. But, you know, I just want to thank you for the community that you have built on there, because I know a lot of parents out there are struggling, and you do help a lot of families out there. So thank you very, very much.
No problem, man. No problem. That's basically what I do it for, so people just don't feel alone, you know. They can read my tweets and be like, damn, yeah, that happened to me just the other day, you know. So you're welcome, man. I appreciate you guys like what I do. That really means a lot to me.
Hey, well, like I said, you're a very talented guy, and you know, stick with it, because you know I think you're going places.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome. Now, Jason, you guys moved into a new apartment to start the year. How did that move go while navigating COVID? Because I can tell you, moving is stressful for anybody, let alone someone on the spectrum. How was that challenge during the start of all of this?
Well, we moved into this apartment, I want to say, probably like mid-March. So everything was just starting to really go down, you know, as far as, you know, people panicking and, you know, the mask enforcements and all that type of thing. But it was still pretty new. I didn't anticipate it was going to be as bad as it was, because it was just starting. And my son had just, we actually, the day we moved, the day before we moved was his last day at his old school. So he was still going to school all the way up till we moved. So once we moved out here, it was still kind of new. You know, it wasn't no stay-at-home orders or any of that type of thing. They had closed school, but there was no mandatory anything. So it really wasn't that bad. Once we were all moved in and we were here for about a month, I want to say like around mid-April is when the reality actually hit. And it was like, oh, shit, everything's closed. Now you can't go shopping, or you have to go shopping at certain hours. And because my son is special needs, autistic, on the spectrum, he has the whole learned disability, all that. So we actually had to adhere to all the rules, you know, as far as going shopping. We could only go shopping at like 7 in the morning when the place first opened up because of my son. And, you know, really wasn't that bad because we get up super early every day anyway. So going shopping at 7 a.m., yeah, it wasn't anything new to us. The only thing that really was new to us was the fact that we couldn't go anywhere, because my son is a very, very, very social person. He doesn't like to just be in the house all day. He doesn't do that. He doesn't sit around and watch YouTube videos all day. He doesn't play games. He doesn't play with toys. He's just a very, very social person. He wants to go out, meet people, talk, see people, see different things. That's his thing. So when all that stopped, that was the biggest challenge, just trying to explain to him that it's COVID-19, coronavirus is going around, and we can't go out. You can't go around shaking hands and getting in people's faces like you like to do. You can't do any of that. That was the biggest thing for us. But as far as shopping early, that was fine. And as far as him not being in school, it was almost summer anyway, so that was fine. The biggest thing for us, though, was the isolation part. That was the biggest deal for us, because staying at home 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, man, it was no good. So that was the biggest thing. Yeah.
For anybody.
No.
Out of curiosity, you know, I think all of this, you know, we've done our best to try and explain everything to our son. I think almost all of this is completely over his head. Do you think your son is understanding this?
Now, I don't. Well, to be honest with you, I can't really say he does understand it. I think it's just more he's heard it so much that he just repeats it, because he'll repeat it constantly. He'll say, you know, oh, yeah, coronavirus is going around. The virus is still going around. So he repeats that, but I don't think he actually understands the severity of it, though. I doubt that. But he does know there's a virus going around, and he has to wear a mask, and he has his little bottle of hand sanitizer he carries with him and that type of stuff. But as far as the severity of it and what's really, really going on, it, like you said, man, it goes over his head. He's not even comprehending that.
Yeah, I was just curious. He started back at a new school now. Is he in 5 days a week, or?
Right now he's going 5 days a week. Before he started back full time, because my son cannot do any type of Zoom school, or he can't do anything on a computer because he can't focus on the screen for a long period of time. And before he started school, his school, now that he's in, they were good enough to let him come in part-time to get used to all the teachers and get used to the classroom, get used to getting on the bus. So before they went full-time, my son and like one other little kid from around here that's just like him, they allowed them to come to school for like maybe, I think it was 2 days a week, just for a couple hours a day to get acclimated back into going to school. So that helped a lot. And now he's going 5 days a week, and he loves it. He absolutely loves it. And I think part of the reason that he loves it so much is because half his classmates are still doing Zoom. So nice. It's like only him. So it's like only him and maybe three other kids in his whole classroom. By, you know, a lot of kids being at home still doing Zoom, and when the bus picks them up, it's only like two or three other kids on the bus. So I think all that type of stuff is what's actually helping him deal with school, because he doesn't have to get on the crowded school bus. He doesn't have to worry about being in class with 8, 9, 10 other kids, you know, that type of stuff. So for him, this is like super. This is like the shit he always dreamed of, I guess, you know, but he loves it like that. So there's really no problem. And I really do applaud this school for letting him come early and get used to it and everything like that. That helped a lot too. But as far as far as him navigating the whole thing, it's really no problem. The teachers and them are really good about that. They actually, like, during arts and crafts, they sit down and they make their own face mask and all that type of stuff. So he's just doing his own thing. He's just in his own little world, man, enjoying his life and enjoying school. You know, he's not really, that's just it. It's just he's enjoying school, he's enjoying his little life, and that's just where he's at with that.
I got to tell you, I'm really happy. It seems like it's a completely different situation from the last school that you guys were in. And, you know, it's really, really great to hear that. I'm sure your audience is going to love to hear that. You know, we've all been following your story, and it seems like he's been really doing a great job since this school year started.
Oh, yeah, he's doing a lot better in this school. I think a lot of the problem, too, in this old school was the teachers and them, they weren't invested in that school because it was a inner city school. They didn't have a lot of money. Actually, the school district was actually going broke at the time we moved, so they were cutting a lot of programs, all types of stuff. So it was just a bad situation, and they didn't have the right stuff to deal with my son. So a lot of times when my son got out of pocket or out of hand or whatever, they would just call me to come handle it, pick him up, take him home. They didn't want to be bothered with him. Out here, it's completely different. But we live in a more affluent neighborhood, and this neighborhood has a lot of money flowing through it. So the school has a lot more stuff for him. The teachers are more invested in the school because they ain't trying to leave to go to a better school, you know, that type of stuff.
Absolutely. That's something that I think plagues a lot of school systems, you know, over by us. There's unbelievable turnover. And anytime you get someone good who's in the school, within a year, they've gone and left for more money somewhere else. But people got to look out for themselves. So I can't fault anyone in trying to improve their career.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you know, a lot of people only know autism, such as you know, things they see in the movie, like Rain Man. What is the one thing that you would love for society to know about autism and the effects it has on everyday life, not only for your child, but, you know, for parents as well?
I think the one thing now that's really on my mind the most is the fact that kids with autism grow up to be adults with autism. It doesn't change. They don't grow out of it. It just, you know, it is what it is. And I just want people to understand, kids like my son or kids that's on the spectrum and period, I just want people to understand that what they're doing now, they're probably going to keep doing it into adulthood and beyond that. You know, it's not something that can change. It's not something that they're just going to grow out of. My son's not going to grow up and be one of those people on Twitter that's tweeting autism and, you know, I can't even see my son doing that type of thing. And I think a lot of times on social media, a lot of these so-called self-diagnosed autistics or whatever, I think they do a disservice when they come on social media and they start tweeting and they start saying things that's propaganda and they're just repeating things that's already embedded into society's brain. So it's kind of hard when you have a kid like mine and I'm on Twitter every day, and I'm reading these tweets, and I'm saying to myself, like, nah, fuck that. That shit ain't true. Why are you saying that? And, you know, I have to stop myself from confronting these people and getting into arguments and that type of stuff. So I just want people to know a lot of stuff you read about autism on Twitter or Facebook or social media, I want to say maybe 85%, probably more, is just propaganda. People heard, and that's just all it really is. And I want people to understand shows like The Good Doctor, that's not real. That's not a real portrayal of autism. It's just not, and that's my opinion. Some people might think otherwise. Some people might watch that show and really like it and really get into the characters and that type of thing. But at the same time, they're letting those, that propaganda get into their brains, man. And then it's hard when a parent like me comes around and it's like, smashes all those stereotypes, like, no, that's not what's really happening. This is what's really happening. So I think my biggest beef, man, is just the propaganda that's pumped out constantly. And with all that propaganda, kids like my son, that's on the severe end of things, they kind of get pushed to the back and ignored because it's not a feel-good story for them, or it's not a, it's nothing that's going to make you feel good. Is what I'm trying to say. Because if you read, anybody reads my tweets, some of them are funny, but then some of them are actually sad and heartbreaking. And it's not because I make them that way. That's just how life is. Like the real what we go through and what we deal with. So I think I just want the whole world to know propaganda is real. And when it comes to autism, it's a very, very, very big problem.
Yes, I want your opinion on this. I think that the autism community on Twitter has been inundated with bots. Like, I don't even know who's real at this point in my mind.
Oh, yeah, I feel the same way because, like, I've been – the autism hood has been on Twitter since 2017, so about 3 years exact. Well, October was 3 years exact it's been on there. And in the 3 years, I've seen – drastic changes. And I've seen more and more and more self-diagnosed grown autistics. And for, I don't understand why a person would wait until they're 30, 40, 50 to be diagnosed with autism. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand that. And I'm like you, man. I got like a handful of people that follow me that I know for a fact that they're raising an autistic kid, or they might be autistic themselves. But other than that, man, I get new followers every day, all day long. I get messages from people all day long. I'm to the point where I just want to shut my shit off, man, my messages and all that, because I'm like you. I can't figure out who's being real, who's genuine, or who just wants me to say something so they can use it for a soundbite, or they can, whatever it is. It's getting out of hand. I don't understand really what's going on. But I think it's a lot of propaganda. I think it's a lot of people that just want to jump on the bandwagon because it's, I don't know, cool to be autistic or whatever they think. And that's just how I feel about it, man. I just think it's a lot of fake stuff going on. I think it's a lot of bandwagon riding going on. And I think people are trying to turn it into some type of trend or something. Because I've seen YouTube videos, man, of people that's supposed to be autistic, but they're like stemming to music and lights and choreographed and all that type shit. And it just, that turns me off because I know that's not real. I know it's not. My son would never in his life do anything like that. He can't, you know? So I just think it's a lot of propaganda, man. Just propaganda trying to turn it into something that is actually not, you know?
I hear you, man. Hey, why don't you, you've written a bunch of books. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your books, your Teespring store, and just let us know about the info and the products that are available for purchase from Autism Hood.
Okay. Well, right now let me start back. On Amazon, I have a bunch of little short stories, like social stories I wrote, and they're called the Dudley Does series. And it's basically just about my son, but I chose to change his name to Dudley, you know, just to keep him out of the spotlight and all like that. But it's just like a short, I got about maybe 10 short social stories about Dudley, and they're different things like Dudley does school, Dudley does camp, Dudley does the neighborhood, all that type of stuff, just about my son and what he does throughout the day. I got all those on Amazon, short stories, they're like 99 cents. And then I got Autism Hood Stories, which is an actual book, and that's just basically all of my blogs and poetry and stories combined into just one book. And I think that's, I forgot the price of it. I think it's like $1.99 or something like that. And that's on Amazon. I have two blog sites, and they're both coffee blogs, the Buy Me a Coffee blog sites. I have two of them, and they're both Autism Hood podcast blogs, whatever. Those are the sites where all my blogs are. I got maybe 30, over 30-some blogs, poetry, short stories on both sites. So people can go there, read all my stuff, read about my son, read whatever we go through, whatever. If they want to buy a coffee, they can, but it's free, you know, no charge. I have the YouTube channel, Autism Hood, where I upload videos. And I talk about my son. You know, everything I do is about my son. So I have the blogs, the two coffee blogs. I have the YouTube channel, Autism Hood TV, the YouTube channel. I have the podcast on Anchor. I haven't uploaded anything in a long time, but it's stuff on there. And the Teespring store is all autism-related stuff. I have T-shirts, the hoodies, the baseball caps, tote bags, book bags, coffee mugs, phone cases, face masks, anything. And it's all positive autism awareness, Autism Hood, that's the brand. So everything that I have going on is all autism related. And most of the stuff is free. The only thing that's not free is the stuff on Teespring. And I can't make that free because Teespring charges, so I have to make some kind of money so they can get their money too. But that's the only thing that I charge for. Everything else is free. The blogs are free. The podcasts are free. The YouTube channel is free. The books are only 99 cents. But if people want a book, I can just send them one. They don't even have to pay for it. They could just send me a direct message, and I'll just shoot them a copy of it or whatever. And that's all that I really have going on.
Now, I remember about a year ago, you guys were filmed for a documentary. I was just curious if you had any update on that. I know the pandemic has caused lots of disruptions in television. I was just curious if you had any update on that.
No updates on that. I filmed a documentary, and it's called In a Different Key. And I forget the lady name. It's Karen Zucker. Karen Zucker is the one that did the documentary. They at our old apartment, they came out with the whole crew and they filmed the documentary. Just asked me a bunch of questions about how I feel about autism, that type thing. I'm not sure when it's coming out. I haven't talked to the lady that actually did the interview or anything. The last time I talked to her was when we did the actual interview. So I have no idea about any of it, man. All I know is it's coming out, but that's about as much as I know. I don't have any date of where it's coming out. I don't have any dates of where it's going to premiere, nothing. And I didn't get compensated for it or anything. You know, I just got in it, you know. That's all
gotcha.
I know about it.
Well, very excited about that. So when you have more info, if you get more info, let us know. Any words of wisdom for parents out there who are struggling with the task of parenting a child with autism? There's lots of us out there.
The only thing that I would say to anybody, if you have a kid that's on the spectrum or any type of special needs, disability or whatever, what I would suggest is everything you read on social media, take it with a grain of salt. Do your own research, talk to your doctors, talk to your kids' doctors, talk to therapists, read books. Don't read books, actual books. Don't rely on reading stuff on Twitter or Facebook, or don't rely on people in them groups to tell you things, because what works for one parent might not work for your kid. So I would just say, take everything you hear and see with a grain of salt, and just figure out what works with your kid, and don't worry about nobody else, because chances are they're not worried about you either.
Hey, Jason, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today. You know, this was our first show in a really long time, and I could not think of a better person who I wanted to interview. You know, your words of wisdom and sharing has meant a lot to the autism community, and, you know, we cannot express our gratitude to you enough. You know, keep up the good work, and, you know, we hope to have you on again sometime soon. You know, any final words or thoughts?
I would just say, just be kind to the parents that's on Twitter or Facebook or whatever social media you happen to be on. If you come across a special needs parent and they're saying something that you perceive as being crazy or out of this world or something, don't jump to conclusions, because that person might be having the worst day possible, and you can say something to that person that will just ruin their whole day, and you don't even realize it because you're just thinking. You're just thinking about what you're seeing. You're not thinking about the other person. So my final words would be, if you're on social media and you come across special needs parents or special needs adults or whatever, think before you react, because you don't know what that person is actually going through. That person could be having a very, 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 very tough day, and your words can either make that person's day better or can make that person's day worse. So just be kind to people, man. That's all I can really say.
Hey, Jason, once again, thanks for coming on the show, and, you know, keep us updated, and hope to have you on again sometime soon.
Okay. Thanks, man.
And it's great talking to you.
Yeah, you too. Have a good day, man.
You too. Hey, have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too. You too. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Great Dads Radio. Everyone have a happy Thanksgiving. We're going to try and be back with you here next Friday at the same time. And thanks for listening.
This is Gilbert Gottfried. You've been listening to Great Dads Podcast.